the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We've just finished one of the warmest Februaries in decades. That warm weather has fooled the trees and grasses into growing and budding a little early. And for many of you, your allergies are also acting up early. Well, in tonight's Medical Monday, we're talking about allergies and how you can find relief. My guests are Dr. Nkuruka Erekosima, allergist with Alpha Allergy and Asthma Associates, also Dr. Marilyn Corder, pediatrician and adjunct professor at the Howard University College of Medicine. If you have a question, if you have a comment about your allergies, just hold your napkin to your nose and give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Erekosima, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Dr. Corder, always good to talk to you.
Thank you again, Harold.
Sure,
happy birthday.
Sure thing. Dr. Erekosima, I want to start with you. Kind of give me a working definition of exactly what an allergy is. We all know how they impact us, but why is it that some people like me seem to be allergic to everything and some people don't have them at all?
Sure. So an allergy really is what we call a hypersensitivity reaction to something that is normal in your environment. And hypersensitivity just means that the body is overreacting to the thing. Now, a common allergen which triggers that type of reaction is pollen. And as you mentioned, we're now in pollen season. But essentially what happens is pollens are normal in our environment. And at some point, some people's bodies would have changed in terms of their immune system has changed in the sense that it starts to make a specific type of antibody that I usually would refer to as the allergic antibody. Mm-hmm. And you start to make an allergic antibody to a specific pollen, for example. And you don't really know it until you are subsequently exposed to that pollen again, and then the reaction starts. And when the reaction starts, it activates different parts of the immune system that then lead to the symptoms that we see people show, symptoms like the itchy eyes and the watery eyes and the runny nose and the sneezing. So that's really kind of a basic definition of allergy.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Corder, obviously you spent your entire career working with very young patients as a pediatrician. Are allergies different with children when compared with adults? And if so, how so?
Great question. You know, with children, they can't really tell you what's going on. And often the parents will think it's a cold. But there are 5 points that I want to make sure that those parents out there understand. And one is the symptoms. And the symptoms, instead of it being a cold, may last 3 to 4 to 5 weeks. And as your guest said, you know, your body is responding to those allergens. And then the timing, when around the same time of year, what did they do? What activity? Was it always springtime when they're playing soccer? But I'm going to also say this, as also a geneticist, you need to understand that a child has a 50% chance of getting allergies if one parent has them, and a 75% chance of getting allergy if both parents do. So, you know, it's when you have that little one who's having those symptoms of the dark circles around the eyes, the puffy eyes, the watery, the frequent mouth breathers, because they can't breathe because their nostrils are swollen because of allergies, and that cough. And it's around that same time of year, and they've been out because mom or grandma have been strolling them around the cherry blossoms all week. Then you're like, wait a minute, this is not just a cold. So the symptomatology is similar, but you have to make sure that you're thinking about it and that it is on the radar. Because unfortunately, the child can't tell you, and there's other things that occur, irritability, can't sleep, and everybody's wondering, why is he or she so fussy?
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's Medical Monday, and we are talking about allergies. Why you have them, and where can you find relief? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. The doctors are in. So, Dr. Ericosima, can some people, and I've heard this before, that some people grow out of their allergies. Is that a thing?
So, it is a thing, yes, that some people can, quote unquote, grow out of their allergies. When we think about growing out of allergies, with food allergies, it's a little bit different from the environmental allergies. So when I mention environmental allergies, I mean things like pollen and animal dander, like pets, for example. A lot of times what happens with allergies is that with the environmental allergens like pollens and dust mites, some people's symptoms can improve over time as they get older. And so they kind of think of it as growing out of their allergies. For some of those people, if you were testing them later on in life when they thought they had outgrown their allergies, they might still show some positive allergy test results. It's just that they don't really manifest with as much symptoms as they previously did when they were younger. And so they think of it as growing out of their allergies. Now, food allergy is another topic in allergy where truly there is a chance of someone outgrowing an allergy as they get older. And each specific food is different, but some people do outgrow their allergies, and there are some foods that are less likely to be outgrown in terms of the allergy to that food. But as one gets older, there is a possibility definitely of outgrowing the allergy.
And I do want to talk a little bit about food allergies tonight as well. We will get to that because that's a whole different crab, shrimp, and lobster dish to eat right now. So, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about allergies tonight. How do you find relief? What are they? And do you have any? Let's go to Calvin. Calvin calling from D.C. Calvin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I heard earlier when she said how parents both can have allergies and the kids will develop them. I was young when they thought I had the flu and all that, but I had allergy reactions when I was coughing and sneezing. And I used to have, when I would be a mouth breather too, but I grew out of that. That's basically what I wanted to say. She was talking basically about me when I was a kid.
There you go. Well, we hope that you continue to stay away from it, Calvin. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, you know, Dr. Corder, one of the other things about allergies is, how do you know what you are allergic to? I know there is testing involved. What is an allergy test? How does that work?
Right. Well, first I wanted to say to Calvin, yes, I was talking to you, and more than 7 million children have allergies that are undetected. Absolutely. And we're in February plus. But going back to your question, Harold, you know, we test several ways. Of course, the allergist can tell you even more detail. But when I do my testing for my patients as young as 2 years of age, I do blood tests. And a lot of things that, you know, are in the environment, trees, plants, grass, the different types of grass, we do the testing for that. And one thing I want to say, with the American Academy of Pediatrics, we have now pushed back the times that we have stopped, we have introduced foods to children. We don't give them foods until they're 6 months old, versus years ago, we started introducing foods much earlier. And then we want to make sure that the mother, let's say she's breastfeeding, if she's eating foods that maybe dad's allergic to, Okay, not her, but dad's allergic to. And as I said, genetically, 50% could be the baby's allergies. We try to have her wean back and stop so that we test. So we end up doing a hypothetical testing and elimination even before the baby has symptoms. Symptoms in children could be rash, could be vomiting, could be GI tract, as well as skin, which atopic dermatitis like eczema doesn't necessarily have to be all the runny nose, et cetera. So that's kind of like our sneak preview, our look in the crystal ball in terms of these are now allergy symptoms. Mm. So we cut back on that, and we do tests. We send them to the allergist. We sometimes have to do a skin test, a prick test, et cetera. But there are times I have said, okay, we now already know that strawberry. We now already know that it's shellfish, as you mentioned, and eggs. Those are the most common types. And, of course, we can't not mention peanuts. But today I had a patient come in, and we did what we call a peanut challenge. We put a little peanut butter on the baby's arm to see if there's any reaction topically. It was not. And then we had peanut butter a little bit on the mouth with a little tongue depressant, and the baby loved it. No reaction. And, of course, I had the Benadryl and the EpiPen ready. So, you know, and now we're trying to introduce, and I love what the allergist said, because we now know that little bits at a time of introducing those things that we were allergic to for years have improved because we're giving them a little bit at a time. It's almost like exposing, so you won't be so sensitive. And lastly, I wanted to make sure I comment that as people grow older, sometimes their allergies are not so pronounced because their airway is bigger. So you have like a dot or two, a little bit of a nostril when you're born, you know, and your runny nose, et cetera, as it expands and as your lungs expand, you don't have as many symptoms. But often it's the case, I will have a mother call me, say my child may have allergies, and I'm hearing the mom or the dad's voice sound like they're underwater, and they're sneezing, et cetera. And now what I tell them, things that make you sneeze and runny nose will also affect your baby.
Dr. Eric Kosima, real quick, I've had the skin prick test, but can you kind of give us a short description for those who may not be familiar with it or may think that they're going to have one? Let's kind of prepare people for that.
Sure. So with allergy testing, there are generally two ways to do the allergy testing. There's the skin test. And there is the blood test, which the blood test is looking for a specific allergic antibody, which is what Dr. Corder was commenting on. And with the skin test, the beauty of the skin test is that it gives us a result almost immediately. And what I mean by that means within 15 minutes of placing a skin test on someone's skin, you can get the result, whether it's positive or negative. And with allergy skin testing, what we do is we do a prick test, or sometimes it's called a scratch test, but there is a device that has a sharp tip that is not a needle necessarily, so we have to point that out for a lot of the children who are scared of needles. It's not a needle. But it's a device that has a sharp tip that's able to prick the skin. And that device is dipped into a liquid solution that contains the allergen. And then we just take that wet tip and prick right onto the skin. It stays on for about 2 seconds. And then we're waiting 15 minutes to reap the test results.
Yeah, now, and you'll know because you'll start itching.
Right. You will know, like, really, the itch starts pretty quickly. Within like 1 to 2 minutes, you already start to feel the itching. But with the prick test, we have to wait the 15 minutes to get the actual results. And it's important for people to know if they are seeing a doctor who has scheduled them for a skin test. Usually we will let the patient know, but you can't take certain medications before the skin test. And you have to avoid some of those medications for about 5 to 7 days because they will block the skin test from working.
Yeah.
And so it's important to know that.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Inez calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. We'll find out what's going on there. But stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We're talking about allergies on this Medical Monday, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. On this Medical Monday, we are talking about allergies. Allergies of all kinds, not just grass and trees and flowers and things, but we're also talking about food allergies. You may have a food allergy. Your child may have a food allergy. How do you address these issues? My guests are Dr. Nkuruka Erekosima. She's an allergist with Alpha Energy and Asthma Associates, and Dr. Marilyn Corder, pediatrician and adjunct professor at the Howard University College of Medicine. If you have a comment or a question about allergies, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Inez calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. I just wanted to say I'm a longtime listener,
first-time caller,
and I'm happy to be on the line. And good evening to the doctors.
Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. So I'm somebody that has always, I know that you're speaking on general allergies, but I believe I have seasonal allergies. I've never been diagnosed, but I always get the same symptoms around this time of year, and it's always starting earlier and earlier. I'm someone that suffers deeply from, like, I believe, seasonal allergies, especially from pollen. Around this time of year, I wake up with a lot of severe symptoms. Like, I can't open my eyes. I have the gunk and congestions and things like that. And I usually take over-the-counter medication, but that's when I already am experiencing the symptoms. I wanted to know if you would recommend, like, anything that can be more proactive so that I don't experience the symptoms first thing early in the morning, or would that, or if you would recommend, like, allergy testing to maybe get a more specific diagnosis.
Well, let's see what Dr. Erekosima has to say about that. I will tell you, Dr. Erekosima, I've received allergy shots over a period of time. They are not cheap, but they work, and I would have to get them frequently, about every 2 weeks. Or so.
Wow.
So that was my deal. But I will tell you, just from personal experience, it was very, very helpful. So, Dr. Erekosima, your thoughts about that?
So that's a good point that you bring up, Harold. So, thing though, I would say, and as about your symptoms and what you've described, you experienced, is you would need to get allergy testing. I would suggest that you get allergy testing, see an allergist who can do an allergy test on you and determine what you're allergic to, which is something you mentioned, and you were right on it when you said if you need to do the testing first to see what you're allergic to. Now, there are many options for treating allergy symptoms. And as we know, over the last decade or more, some of the allergy medicines have gone over the counter. And so people have access to so many over the counter medicines. But you want to make sure that if you're taking over the counter medicines, that you're taking it under the guidance of a physician, because you want to make sure first that you're taking the right medicine for your condition, and that you're taking the right dose of the medicine that you get over the counter. But we can treat allergies with medications, and we can treat allergies with allergy shots. Allergy shots are very effective at treating allergy symptoms. And like Harold said, you would have to get allergy shots for years if a person chooses to be treated with allergy shots. And the way that allergy shots work is that they reduce over time, gradually reduce your sensitivity or the way that your body reacts and responds to those allergens, like the pollens, for example. And then you have to maintain the course
It's recommended that people who choose to be treated with allergy shots stay on for up to 5 years if they can, in order to have long-standing benefit after you complete the course of treatment. So those are some options. Now, I want to also mention one thing that is easily available to a lot of people, which is a nasal saline spray or a nasal saline rinse, which contains salt solution. It's available over the counter. It's not as effective as the medications, but can work together with those medications to help reduce the severity of your symptoms when you use it correctly.
Yeah. Well, Inez, thank you so much for that really important question, and good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about allergies. Dr. Corder, I want to go back to this food allergy thing. Why do you suppose that this has risen to so much prominence lately? I don't remember when I was in elementary school, I don't remember anyone having problems with peanuts or anything like that. And now it just seems that there are so many children who are allergic to peanuts to the point where it could be fatal. And we know that airlines don't even serve peanuts on the planes anymore. You get the cheap pretzels, and you still got to pay for them, but that's another conversation. But still, what's going on with the food allergies? Why are they so prominent now, Dr. Corder?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Harold, because, you know, it's interesting. After so many, one death is too many, but so many episodes, near-death episodes, et cetera, there are now schools that are what we call peanut-free zones,
mm-hmm.
because there's something called an anaphylactic, and one child is too many in terms of having a reaction. Now, in my experience over the past 40 years, we have seen peanut allergies, and we have trained parents to have something called an EpiPen that will be what we call an immediate reversal of an allergic reaction that goes to the point where the anaphylactic closing up of the throat, et cetera. But it's life-threatening, unfortunately. Now, going back to your original question, I can't say for certain, because as I grew up here in the DMV, I don't remember people having peanut allergies, and perhaps it's the heightened immune system that we now have developed over the years, but we definitely respect peanut allergies to the point, even when we talk about foods with peanut oil, certain things, even things, some of the fast foods are now cooking their French fries, et cetera, in non-peanut oil. So that information is going to be is very, very important in terms of preventive. And other foods as well, such as eggs, such as shellfish, et cetera. And I want to go all the way back to some things that naturally we prevent. Again, as I said earlier, we don't introduce those foods even until 6 months as we used to do, because it aggravated the gut, caused inflammation, as well as it caused problems. We didn't realize until probably a decade ago, Harold, that things that the child was eating, they were allergic to. So many people are eating foods that they're allergic to. When I give them the food panel, because I do lots of allergy tests in my office, I call the parents and say, guess what Johnny's allergic to? Wheat, you know, eggs. And the parents are like, what? I eat that all the time. I give that all the time. Yeah. And that can lead to certain things, inflammatory gut, and even down to leaky gut. So we now need to be aware of what we're very sensitive to. What I do want to go 2 seconds is to say there's some things that we need to prevent. We can do preventive medicine from the allergens, because as we treat little children, babies, et cetera, they are not old enough to take the antihistamines, et cetera. I love the comment with the nasal spray, saline. That washes away that airway that just came from outside with the allergens. But, you know, some cultures, and we need to do the same, take shoes off when you walk in the door, because what's in the bottom of your shoes is what you just stepped on, pollen, et cetera. Also, here's a tidbit that I want everyone to hear. So you're outside, you're playing, et cetera. Of course, you take your clothes off when you get in, you shower, what have you. But even before then, as you have laid down on your pillowcase, see, and that all was outside is now on your pillowcase. Flip the pillowcase to the other side, Harold. Then by Wednesday, let's say that's Monday, one side A, Tuesday, side B, side. So Wednesday, you need a new pillowcase. Otherwise, you're rattling in what just came from outside. And please, please, if you don't hear me say anything else, close your windows. I had one of my staff members said, I couldn't breathe, I'm congested, I opened up my windows. I said, well, you may as well have been wilding in the grass all night long. Okay? And lastly, and Harold, this will date us. There used to be clotheslines years ago. We'd be drying. Well, guess what was on those clothes as the wind blew, et cetera? Pollen.
Wow.
Okay? So all that fresh breeze came pollen, came all the ragweed, came all that stuff, and we brought them in. Wow, freshly dried sheets. Well, again, you may as well have been having a grass blanket.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Because my next door neighbor, she's old school. She dries her sheets and towels outside. And wow.
Maybe sneezing and wheezing for all you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not seen her have any problems, and I see her, you know, frequently because she's my next door neighbor, but wow, I never thought about that. Wow, you save electricity and you pay the price through your nose. I had no idea. So I do also want to talk a little bit more about the whole food allergy. Dr. Eric Kosima, can people develop allergies later in life? And I know that there are some, some discussion in the medical community about allergies triggering asthma attacks. That's one. Mm-hmm. Talk to me first about that. Then I have another question about the food allergy.
Sure. So the answer to your first question, can people develop allergies later in life, is yes. People can develop allergy symptoms that they did not previously have later in life. Now, one of the things that we tend to see when it comes to food allergies, and I should step back and say, when I say people can develop allergies later in life, that includes allergies like seasonal allergies to environmental things versus foods. You can also develop certain types of food allergy later in life, and I will speak on that too. But with the environmental allergy, so remember earlier when I said that in terms of the definition of what an allergy is, that at some point the immune system changes such that it develops an allergic antibody to something. Not everyone who develops an allergic antibody to something is going to react to that thing. So the person's history is very important, because if you just tested like the whole community, you would see a lot of people with what we would consider positive allergy tests, but a lot of them might not even have symptoms to the things they're testing positive to, because it's in our environment, and so our immune system does respond to the things in our environment, but we want to know who is having a reaction to that thing. And so when people develop allergies later in life, we just can never know when that change had happened in their immune system. We just know when they start to manifest with the symptoms. So this is kind of a thing that happens over the course of time. And at some point, the person might begin to manifest with symptoms. Mm. Now, you're right. So it's very, I can use myself as an example. So I did not know that I would have any positive allergy tests. And at some point, I had allergy testing that showed that my result is positive, for example, to dust mite. And I was surprised because I don't have allergy symptoms. So I am one of those people who might have a positive test but does not necessarily have the symptoms to show. And so
I'm not necessarily an allergic person. That positive test result we call sensitization. The immune system has to undergo that thing called sensitization at some point. And then later, the person may or may not manifest with symptoms. And so it's important to know that we don't necessarily treat only the test result. We really have to take a person's history of symptoms and what they're experiencing into account when we evaluate, diagnose, and treat. When it comes to food allergies, what I see a lot, the people who might develop some food allergy reactions later in life, like, for example, their young adulthood or late teenage years, or maybe even later than young adult life, might be people who are now reacting to certain foods that cross-react with certain environmental allergens like pollens that they are allergic to. And there is a condition that we call oral allergy syndrome. Another name for it is pollen food allergy syndrome. Certain people are allergic to specific pollens, mm-hmm. and those pollens are in the same plant families as certain foods. And so the person, when they eat that food, might start to have a reaction to the food because, really, of their pollen allergy. And so a classic one is birch tree pollen and apple. So when a person who is allergic to birch tree pollen eats an apple that they've eaten for like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of their life, all of a sudden they start to have itching inside their mouth and their throat and they think it's weird. And then the next time they eat an apple, the same thing happens. Mm. That is oral allergy syndrome, where because of their birch tree pollen allergy, the apple shares the same property as the thing in birch tree pollen that they're allergic to. And so when they bite into the apple, their mouth starts to react as though it's tasting that pollen.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
from the birch tree. Yeah.
Right. And so that is one form of allergy that we see a lot that people develop later on in life.
I know that shellfish is a really big allergy. And I've had some friends tell me, I'm going to this crab feast, I'm just taking Benadryl, and I'm just going with it. You know, that doesn't seem to me to be the safest thing to do. I would imagine, Dr. Corder, that is not something that you would recommend.
You know, I try to stay away from those places and know it. and I'm like, it's almost like when you're allergic or sensitive to lactose, you take the lactate, just don't eat it. Just don't do that. And with the shellfish allergies, you really, really can get, you can die. I mean, I've been in seafood places where someone has had an allergic reaction, and be it Benadryl or what have you, always sending them out. So I have been, I hate to say victimized, but I've seen people and I've helped, and that's what you don't want. Going back to your original question as well, you know, allergies are, I call asthma is the big brother of allergies. And many of my patients who suffer from asthma, we tell them, let's get the allergies together, because when we're talking about that upper airway blockage, what that begins to do is wakes up that sleeping giant called asthma that we then see as well. So those children who are, I call it asthmatic, but they also have seasonal allergies, which is 99% of the time, I see little, this is your, I'm not going to mention names of the decongestants, but you know, and they take those nasal spray, as Dr. Eric Seema said, and then you want to make sure that you have, you know, everything in your tool chest that decreases the allergy symptoms so that it won't begin to aggravate those asthmatic inflammatory symptoms as well.
You know, I have to say, you know, Dr. Eric Osama, I know one thing that happened to me, this was about a year ago. I love Thai food, never had a problem with it at all. That I know of, I don't have any allergies or allergic reactions to, you know, to shellfish. But I remember going into a restaurant late last spring and eating a dish, and my face swole up like Will Smith in the movie Hitch. I mean, it was just incredible. And trying to figure out what was in it was virtually impossible because, you know, those dishes have a good 10, 15, 20, 11, you know, ingredients in them. But the thing was that my lymph nodes swole up around just under the, just below my ears. And it was really, you know, frightening to me. It wasn't painful, but I definitely felt it. And then there have been times when I've not eaten anything. I'm just sitting there watching television. All of a sudden, my lymph nodes swell up. What could that possibly be?
So it could be a few different things, actually. And this is part of my job, is to figure out when someone has that kind of medical history,
mm-hmm.
what is it that's causing it? Now, I want to start with the shellfish. What I described about the oral allergy syndrome that you can see with, for example, birch tree pollen and apple, there is something similar for people who have dust mite allergy. They can start to react to shrimp, specifically shrimp, later on in life because there is some cross-reactivity, meaning that there is something in the dust mite allergen that is similar to the shrimp allergen. And so that is what I tend to see more commonly amongst adults who previously could eat shellfish and then all of a sudden start to have true reactions to shellfish. So there's that possibility, and you would have to see an allergist to try to tease out whether or not that is the cause if someone is experiencing such symptoms. Now, the other thing is there are people who have swelling episodes that are completely unrelated to like a food trigger or some other kind of specific allergic trigger that we can identify. The problem is that it's always hard to figure it out up front because you really have to get a very good medical history. You have to find out how often it's happening. Did they eat a food? Was it the same specific food that they ate each time before the symptoms happened? And if it turns out that it's not necessarily linked to a specific food and it's happening at different times, then they might need to get tested for other causes of swelling episodes. And those types of swelling, like what you described that happened with Hitch, we call that type of swelling angioedema. And that type of swelling, angioedema, could be caused by an allergic trigger, like a food trigger,
mm-hmm.
or a medication that someone is taking, or it can actually be completely unrelated, and it can be a condition in and of itself, not necessarily triggered by an allergy. And so that's why anyone who's having those types of episodes should see an allergist.
It certainly is, you know, frightening because, as Dr. Corder said, some allergic reactions can be fatal. And to your point about the dust mite versus shrimp, you know, in my oversimplified medical degree that came out of a Rice Krispies box, but it just seems to me that. Loosely speaking, dust mites and shrimp are both bugs. One is on land and one is in the water. and it seems to me that I know that, there are people who have, you know, those kinds of dust mite allergies, and they're also, you know, allergic to, you know, these bottom feeder animals, you know, shrimp, lobster, crab. That, you know, because they're both, you know, sea bugs. I don't know. It seems logical to me. I'm probably way off base, but again, as you said, there may be some correlation, but that would have to be something that was
determined by your physician.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's important, if someone's having swelling episodes like what you described, and they are recurring, or if there's a suspicion that they have a food allergy that's causing significant swelling that involves the mouth and the throat, the person should definitely have an EpiPen, because you want to protect that airway. They will need something to use for treatment, which is what the EpiPen is used for in case of an emergency when you're having a severe reaction.
Yeah. Now, with that being the case, just a little first aid, you know, 101. If you have an EpiPen, where do you stick the person? Do you stick them in the leg? Do you stick them in the arm? Do you stick them near where the allergic reaction is happening, such as if they're itching on the skin, do you stick them in the arm? If their airway seems to be closing, do you stick them, you know, in the throat or the chest? What do you do with that?
Now, the correct location for injecting that EpiPen is in the thigh. It really is in the front side of the thigh, where we have a large muscle there, and that's where the medicine goes in. And, you know, we use the term EpiPen, but they're also generic for it. It's epinephrine, which is the same as adrenaline, mm-hmm. is what's in the medicine, and that is a life-saving treatment. But the best location for it, and really the only place where anyone should be administering their EpiPen, is in their thigh, in the front side of the thigh. Most epinephrine injectors, like the EpiPen, have instructions with a description and a picture where you can see how to inject the medicine. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Corder, for children, besides an EpiPen, what other kinds of allergy medications should you have on standby?
So you should always have not only just the EpiPen, and I totally agree with Dr. Eric Seema. We also want to have liquid Benadryl. Everyone's familiar with the Benadryl, the ice pack, you know, to make sure that, you know, of course, your doctor's phone number, but you want to make sure that, and I agree totally, EpiPen, they have the EpiPen Junior for children who are less than 12 years of age. So the EpiPen is our middle name when it comes to having allergic, you know, prevention of allergic reaction to the point of severity and airway blockage. And really quickly, before we go off, I want to make sure that we have a information in terms of when you have those allergies, make sure when people are cutting the grass, seasonal allergies, cutting grass, et cetera, you're not outside, you're closing your windows, you're using your air conditioner. And here's one other tidbit, Harold. You know how we might have our bonnets or our do-rags, et cetera? This is the time to put it on, because then that hair that's been outside won't be, again, aggravating your pillowcase. So that plus the pillowcase changes is so very important. And lastly, we want to make sure that we consult our doctors, because preventive health is very important. And do not ignore those symptoms. We need our airway open to breathe.
Yeah, definitely. Never thought that I would be ending this show with a conversation about do-rags. But Dr. Eric Kosima, would you like to have a final word?
Sure. I just want to say that it's very important for people to actually go and get evaluated by a physician to determine what you're allergic to. Don't assume that you're allergic to something without knowing for sure if that's what you're allergic to. So if you're having symptoms and you still don't know what's triggering those symptoms and you think it's allergies, there are many allergies in the area, you can find an allergist who can evaluate you and determine for sure what you're allergic to, and then come up with a plan that is specific for you. And if you're having a severe allergic reaction, please call 911. If you don't know what else to do, go ahead and call 911.
Dr. Nkuruka Erekosima and Dr. Marilyn Corder, thank you both for talking to us. You've been very helpful, and I hope we've been able to help someone on this Medical Monday. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, March 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.